racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome back into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known, though, as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And by the way, folks, he's the general manager of Normandy Golf Club in St. Louis. And if you're ever in the area, please take advantage. Make a phone call, play a great golf course. Well, it's seemingly a slow tournament week, Jay, but we have a lot to cover. But before we get into Rory McIlroy's win, I think, Jay, you and I should send out a huge congratulations to Barbara Nicklaus on receiving the 2019 PGA of America Distinguished Service Award. Can't think of anybody more deserving.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to meet her on a couple times, but you and Janice have carved a relationship with her and know her better than I. And that term, Distinguished Service Award, sometimes it's just given out and they just give it out. This is true service. I mean, what she has done as it relates to raising money, what they've done with the hospital down there. And let's be honest, what she did for us as golf fans by raising those children, letting Jack do pretty much what he could do, gave us the opportunity probably to see Jack Nicklaus. You know, they say behind every great man might be a better woman. And she's about as good as it gets. I wish I knew her as well as you did.
Well, you would only truly enjoy her. And I'll tell you how I can put it. I view your dad almost basically in the same light as I do Barbara Nicklaus. That's the level of appreciation of human beings that I have. Barbara's a sheer delight. She has that title of First Lady of Golf, and truly, truly she is. And she has done so much, Jay, for, you know, tour wives, that a new guy comes on tour and he's married, and, you know, it's an adjustment for the wife too, out on the PGA Tour. And she was somebody that they could always go to, and Barbara would always have the time and say, sit down, let me share with you a few things that'll make your journey with your husband through his professional life career a little easier. And boy, there are so many tour wives that are so appreciative of all the sage wisdom passed on by Barbara Nicklaus.
Well, and let's toss in another one for somebody you and I both know, and her husband as well, Mike McGee, the PGA of America, at their annual meeting in New York, I believe it was, announced Annika as a PGA of America Hall of Famer. I think, and you can argue this, whether it be Whitworth or Lopez or a couple of other gals or some that we've seen in the last 20 years, to me, Annika's the greatest gal that ever played the game. And I was lucky enough to meet her in 1991 on Hilton Head Island when she was playing for the University of Arizona as a sophomore. And congratulations to her and her husband, Mike, on Annika going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, very well said, Jay. And Mike's the son of Jerry McGee, a longtime PGA professional. And Mike is a super guy. Of course, he would have to be married to Annika, who is just so nice. Janice and I had an opportunity when Insperity over the last couple of months was in town for that Champions Tour event. She was there, and yeah, we got to share with her my memories of when she won the first ladies U.S. Open out at the Broadmoor, and then backed it up the following year down at Pine Needles in Pinehurst. So we had some good stories, and she really is a super person, a good mother, a good wife, and as you made the argument, and I think it's a solid one, she's as good as anybody that's ever played the game. All right, let's move on here, Jay, and get to the HSBC champions. Rory McIlroy wins PGA Tour event for the 18th time. He was 19 under par. He won in a playoff with Xander Schauffele. And I got to get your take on Xander, Jay. I mean, yeah, he was defending champ. He shows up. He loses in a playoff. He's won the FedEx Cup. I mean, Xander Schauffele on that list of guys that might be in line to finally get their first major. I mean, you got to start including his name.
Well, without question, he might even be at the top of the list when you look at the recent play and, as you said, the wins and what he's done and coming out here and battling Rory to the end. You know, speaking of bests, Rory's about a heartbeat away from being the best European Tour player ever. And that's not to take anything away from Sir Nick Faldo or Seve Ballesteros or Tony Jacklin. But, I mean, this is the 18th win for this guy. He's played in two events this year. He finished, I think, fourth or third at the Zozo and then goes on and next week wins at the HSBC off his win of the FedEx Cup, you know, and the Tour Championship. So, all the talk about Koepka being the best and being the best at majors and, you know, we got that going on, and we got the Tiger factor, and Rory has seen Bob, and we've talked about this with his consistency. You know, he admitted that maybe it wasn't his best year because he didn't have any majors or two majors or whatever, but what he appreciated was that consistency. And, you know, guys know they can go low. But to know you can play well on a consistent basis, it's so much easier to step to that first tee.
If anything, look, the four wins this year have been, you know, wonderful. The Players' Championship, Canadian Open, the Tour Championship to win the FedEx Cup, and then, you know, so, you know, big events. But I think more than that, it is the consistency that I'm bringing week in, week out. I'm able to, you know, even if I don't have my best stuff, give myself at least a chance. Or, you know, even last week in Japan, you know, find something after a couple of days and go on to, you know, produce a high finish. So everything, maybe more so than, say when I first came out on tour, you know, I try 100% over every shot. I think because I realize I don't have as much time left as I used to when I was 20. You know, even if I'm having a bad day, I'm trying over every single shot. My concentration is better. My mental capacity on the golf course is much better than it ever has been. And I think that's the big key to why I'm able to play consistently week in, week out.
Talking about time, walk a mile in my shoes, Rory McIlroy. You really put a crunch on your time. Just last year, though, 16 top tens, four wins. I got to see him, if not winning one major in 2020, maybe even as many as two.
Well, I think what you've gotten the sense of the last year, after a run of the Spieths, the Thomases, the Dustin Johnsons, the Jason Days, and then the Koepkas, that this guy is still, at this moment, the best of the bunch in the post-Tiger era. And I say post-Tiger era, I mean after the loss to Y.E. Yang and all that transpired. Bob, you know, you mentioned 16 top 10s. I mean, this is a guy that had 7 in 2018, 6 in 2017, and 8 in 2016. Those are still really good numbers. 16's just at another level. And I was questioning or not, you know what? Let the Euros get mad at me. This is the best European player of all time. He's now just 2 weeks behind Faldo for being world number one. I guess he hasn't caught it yet, or maybe he's going to catch it. I don't pay that much attention to it. Rory's had 95 weeks and Faldo's had 97. Yes, I know Faldo's got 6 majors, but they're both the same. There are only two of them. Rory's got 3. He's got a great chance for the slam. Yeah, I think I don't have a problem saying he's the best European player of all time.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Jay. Over the past season, when the Grow Room was on site at events, quite often I would take opportunities to, you know, solicit the opinion of some of the great players out there. And I can remember talking to Adam Scott, and I said, Adam, tell me who's the best right now in the game. And he said, Bob, Rory McIlroy has more talent to play golf than anybody that is currently out here on the PGA Tour. And when that's coming from Adam Scott, I mean, that's pretty high praise.
Well, and I think the other thing, you know, a couple of years ago, Rory got married. I don't care who you are or what you do, whether you're a gas station attendant or a tour pro, that can have a little change in your life. You know, sometimes we forget that these guys have emotion and they have things happening to them. We just see them in this perfect environment. You know, we don't see the spat before the round over a bill or something with their lady or their wife or whatever. So I think Rory, and you hear the way he speaks, Bob, and nobody knows better than you how it appears he has matured so well. I look at a guy like Garcia and that, you know, run up the hill in 99 at Medina, and all that we thought we were going to find out from him. I think Rory has done a really good job maturing the last couple of years, not only as a person, but with his golf game.
And we wanted to find out what his thoughts were on getting back to number one in the world.
I don't know if a win in Dubai in a couple of weeks' time will get me to, you know, give me enough points to get to that number one ranking. But, you know, as I said, I just wanted to play well until the end of the year to give myself a great platform going into 2020. And I've, you know, regardless of what happens in Dubai, I've already done that. You know, I've, you know, a lot of world ranking points here, FedEx Cup points. I'm back, you know, it's nice to be number one in that very early on in the season and be up there from the start. Obviously, it's, you know, I don't know how many points it gets me in terms of the race to Dubai and where it moves me to there. It might have an outside chance in Dubai, I'm not sure. But, you know, even though it's the end of the year, there's still a lot to play for. Or, you know, at least for me, there is anyway. You need to find things to motivate you, and those are the things that motivated me to, you know, travel all this way to Asia and play hard the last couple of weeks. And you know, excited about how I've played, and you know, I've got one event left to try and, you know, replicate that play that I've shown over the last 2 weeks.
And what we wanted to know next, Jay, was what he's looking ahead to.
With everything, my game, my equipment, my body's been healthier. It's actually, you know, I struggled with some back problems in my early 20s, and you know, knock on wood, that, you know, my body feels as good as it ever has at 30. So I'm excited for the future. You know, I feel like, you know, this year compares to 2014, 2015, but I don't see any reason why, you know, I can't go ahead and have an even better year next year.
Unbelievable confidence. You can almost see it oozing out of Rory McIlroy, and why not? When you know, when you peel away that onion, you come to that ability to drive the golf ball as far as he can, as straight as he can.
Yep.
That's right. And in the fairway, Jay, the game gets a little easier from that point on.
It's just a huge factor, even though the rough is not, I don't think, what it used to be, and it's not as tough with the newer equipment. It still is a difference. And when you put them on a perfect piece of grass, any of these guys, they're going to be able to do it pretty consistently, hitting good shots. I mean, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the Adam Scott thing about him saying that. You know, Rory has a chance. You know, if he wins, you know, I mean, you say it and it's so difficult to do. But, you know, we're talking about a guy that looked magnificent. If he can win, if he wins two majors this year, he really solidifies himself as the best of this time or this era. And, you know, we got a lot of other things to follow. We got a lot of youngsters coming up that we've talked about. We got veterans that still want to get it done that aren't necessarily even old by golfer standards. And then we still got kind of the old guard, if you will, playing. One of them winning in Tiger Woods and the other Mickelson.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not lose track of the fact that the next major is going to afford a golden opportunity for Rory McIlroy to tread on ground very rarely walked on, and that is the winner of all four major championships. Only five players in history have done it. Rory McIlroy, come April, will be in prime position to become number six. There were some other landmarks at that HSBC championship. How about this one? It was quite a milestone for Sergio Garcia. He tied Lee Westwood. I don't know if I'd want this put out there, but they're the only players to have competed 60 times in a World Golf Championship event without ever winning. That's pretty amazing.
And, of course, Sergio broke through and got that major. And a lot of people would tell you, well, they would have told you at one time Westwood might have been the best player without a major. I don't think they'd speak that way today.
Yeah, I really couldn't put my finger on who the best player playing right now without a major.
I mean, if I ask you who was better today, Xander Schauffele or Ricky Fowler, you're probably going to tell me Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. And the best player, maybe, never to win a major yet, I'd have to point to your man, Rombo. You picked up on John Rahm very early in his professional career. Certainly would not surprise me if John Rahm wins a major in 2020.
I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, the next two or three years, with it seemingly like we've got so many elite players playing elite golf that it becomes even tougher, Bob, to win majors. I mean, you try and point out to everybody, only four of these bad boys a year, you know, as opposed to 35 tournaments. And there's such a heightened value on it, and the pressure and the difficulty and all the different stuff. I mean, nobody'd be stunned if John Rahm won two and Rory won two. But, you know, nowadays, you've also could see, you know, what if Victor Hovland got hot somewhere? Or what if Matthew Fitzpatrick? I mean, it's fascinating.
It really is. And we'd be remiss, I think, Jay, if we didn't acknowledge what Phil Mickelson, he dropped out of the top 50 in the world ranking, listen to me carefully now, buddy, for the first time in 26 years.
They talk about Lord Byron's record of 11 in a row or 13 in a row, depending on how you do it. I mean, this is one Tiger's not going to have this. This is one that shows you the length of time. I mean, if you have a bad year, you drop out of the top 50. This guy, first time in 26 years. That's why he's in my top 10.
Well, and deservedly so. I mean, that is just a unbelievable reflection of the consistency Phil Mickelson has demonstrated over those 26 years. Pretty good feel-good story. Jay, we like those on In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and it originated down at the Bermuda Championship. Brendan Todd, he wins for the first time in 5 years. And here's a guy that won the 2014 Byron Nelson Championship. So you know he's a good player. But then all of a sudden, he gets the yips. Not only the putting yips, but the chipping yips, driving yips, the iron yips. And for those that have never been afflicted, you better say thank you, because it's something you would never want. The only way I can equate the difficulty of playing golf with the yips, try running the New York City Marathon carrying a bowling ball. that's what it would be like. And you know what? Let's give a listen to what Todd had to say after that win.
You know, a year ago, you know, I was talking to my manager about potentially opening up another business and, you know, not sure if I was going to keep playing. So to turn around in 1 year and, you know, regain status and then, you know, have a big win like this is just a dream come true and hopefully a springboard to, you know, a really long, successful career out here.
You know, he went through 41 events, Jay, with those yips, missed the cut in 37 of them. 37 out of 41. I mean, if that is not a downer, I don't know what a downer is.
I mean, perseverance to the nth degree. I mean, as you could hear, off season, talking to his horse, his agent, get me out of this business, find me a regular paycheck. And now it is a life changer. And that's somewhat the difference in our game as opposed to other sports, where at 22, somebody gives you $10 million to sign a contract. That's not the case in our game for the most part. You have to earn it yourself and do it yourself, and it's all on you. And that's what's so unique sometimes. Well, when we'll see a story like a guy like Brendan Todd, who gets another opportunity, makes good of it, and now it's a life changer. He goes from 525 in the world to 185. He gets almost 3 years of status because you got to remember he's exempt now for the full year, which, I mean, is I say just starting, but is kind of in a way just starting for a lot of guys. And then 2 more years on that. So way to go. And I mean, going low all 4 days, just he waxed them.
Yeah. The only sad part about Brendan Todd's victory, I thought for sure that I once again was going to be the happiest person at Maui when I go to cover the Tournament of Champions. But I got to believe Brendan Todd, who's going to be playing there, is going to be even happier than the grow room will be when we get there. Let's move on to the PGA Tour Champions, second playoff event to determine the field for the Charles Schwab Cup. About 56-year-old Monty, maybe a name that we have to mention as one of the best players ever to play the game, never to win a major.
Yep. I don't think there's any question about it. And for the seventh time on the Champions Tour, he wins. And who's he beat? The greatest senior player of all time, Bernhard Langer. So a big win for Monty. It's his seventh. I didn't realize that. His seventh win on the over 50 circuit. And the 2020 PGA Tour champion schedule, Bob, has been released, as you know, and we talked about earlier, a new event coming to St. Louis. 27 events playing for close to $59 million. And I'm so glad because so many of those guys really need the money. Bob, let's step away for a few moments so we can hear. Oh, they're going to rub it in for me. The Kapalua Villas. You ever been to Kapalua? Have you ever been to a villa on Maui? Wow, we'll hear about that. And Normandy Golf Club, they're a little different. We're in St. Louis. They're in Maui. We'll do that. Then when we return, we'll take a look at what's cooking this week. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Great to have you with us. You can find me on Twitter, STL Golf Geek. You can find Bob Bubka at Twitter, Bob Bubka, V-O-G. That V-O-G stands for the voice of golf. Well, Bob, this is one of the rare weeks in the year where the PGA Tour has no tournament. So there's nothing to preview, but it's getting down to the wire on the PGA Tour Champions. Their season-ending event takes center stage for the tour, the Charles Schwab Championship. It is a four-round event. A lot of the events are three rounds. They play four for this. And, Bob, here are the top five: Scott McCarron, Jerry Kelly, Bernhard Langer, multiple winner of this Charles Schwab, Colin Montgomery, and Retief Goosen. Five pretty big names, two of which have won major championships, Mr. Langer and Retief.
Yeah, absolutely. And mathematically, any of those five could end up as the Charles Schwab Cup champion. So
right.
Lots of excitement on that tour. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Some big guns coming out next year, though, led by none other than Ernie Els. Ernie turning 50. You got to be kidding me. I remember when he was a puppy. And he's going to make his start at the Mitsubishi Championship in Hawaii in January. And I would be willing to bet that Mr. Ernie Els will be trying to get into that field, and I'm sure he'll be able to. The Sony Open in Honolulu, a lot of players use that as a little tune-up before the Mitsubishi. Jim Furyk's turning 50. KJ Choi, don't count him out. And Phil Mickelson, what is he going to do? Is he going to play? Is he going to stay? Is he going to just count money? We have to...
Well, here's the thing. If he wants to count money, I think there's a lot of money to count on that Champions Tour, because he would instantly become the biggest star. I mean, he's got a chance to – I mean, you know, he's the kind of guy that'll smile and he'll stand there and do autographs. It's all he's known virtually his whole life. So I've got a – but I do think – he's not going to do it until he feels he can be competitive. Until he feels he can't be competitive on the regular tour. I mean, I don't see him playing at the Masters and then the next week playing in the GTE Suncoast Classic in Lutz, Florida. So I think it may take a while for Phil to get there. Now, Furyk may just go out there and just destroy him. He's still got game.
And KJ Choi was a heck of a player in his own right. And Janice Self, who has her ear to the ground, has been hearing some grumblings that maybe Phil Mickelson is going to be invited into the tower. We know that, you know, McCord and Costas have been let go. We know that Davis Love has been hired by CBS. Speculation, according to Janice Self, and she's pretty good at these things. Phil Mickelson, maybe he'll take that step. You see that happening, Jay?
I certainly see him in that role, and maybe in like a case-by-case basis for a couple of years, maybe at a tournament where he doesn't make the cut or something like that. But he's going to be fascinating to see what he does, because he still has goals to try and reach still. As he hits 50, trying to grab that open and win a major or win another major. But I think maybe the play towards a TV gig rather than the Champions Tour might be the move that he chooses. I mean, again, all he's done since he was five is play golf.
Yeah, and he's played it pretty well, that's for sure. Well, it's not all about superstars. The Korn Ferry Tour, they're in the second stage of Q School. Anyone getting through this stage is guaranteed conditional status on the Korn Ferry Tour. And the Q School finals right now will be December 12th through the 15th down at Orange County National in Winter Garden, Florida. So it's one of those things. Time for us right now, though, Jay, to take another short break. And I do have a special guest lined up. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, I'm not sure how special he is. He's certainly unique. He's the mouth that roars. I'm sure he's still just pumped up from Tiger's victory at the Zozo. MorningRead.com's very own Alex Maselli and Bob talk it over right after this.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Joining us now, the founder and publisher of Morning Read, also self-proclaimed radio and TV personality, Alex Maselli, joining us from Turkey, the site of the Turkish Open this week. Alex, thanks for joining us, and I know you're coming from a long ways away. For our listeners that probably never going to have the privilege of going to Turkey, where does golf stand in the country of Turkey? Is it the average person get to play golf there, or is it the elite, or fill us in a little bit?
Well, I think, Bob, you're going to find that it's a pretty small population of the Turkish population that plays golf. Really, the golf that's here in Antalya, which is an area that's on the Mediterranean, is more for visitors and tourism. And so all the courses that are here, like this week, they're going to be playing on the Montgomery course. It's all been built for tourists. And so you will have a lot of Europeans and Russians that'll come here and enjoy what is really, like today, just a beautiful day. The courses are in very good shape. You know, I'm not going to say that they're the best designed in the world because they're not, but they're suitable for what the Turkish tourism wants to do here, and that's to get foreigners over here spending foreign dollars or foreign whatever, euros or whatever, enjoying the area.
Alex, speaking of dollars, if you can equate to U.S. dollars, show up at this golf course where you're at or any of the others there, approximately what would my green fee be?
Oh, wow. You know, Bob, it's kind of hard to say because what they do here is it's an all-inclusive thing. So when you come here, you get everything in the hotel. You get all your food, all your drinks, and anything else that you want. So golf would be included in that. But, I mean, if I was going to guess, I'd say probably about $150 around. I mean, I guess that would be a pretty good guess if you were just showing up.
All right. Well, I don't want you to guess on this next topic. I've been getting vibes, I can't think of a better word, from Rory McIlroy that, you know, now that he's turned 30, he seems extremely stabilized. I have visions of 2020 being potentially a huge year for Rory McIlroy. Am I alone in that thought?
I don't think you're alone necessarily, but, you know, we've had some fits and starts with Rory McIlroy in the past where it seemed like he was going to break out and then didn't. He's actually had a very good year this year and could put a cherry on the top by winning in Dubai in 2 weeks. But that all being said, you know, winning golf tournaments is great, but there are only four, and maybe next year you could say five, that really matter, and that's where he's found the stumbling block, at least lately. So do we think that all of a sudden Rory McIlroy is going to win a Masters or a U.S. Open or a PGA or an Open Championship? And to be quite honest with you, I mean, there are so many good players, I think it would be hard to say that one person. I will say this. If you were saying Rory McIlroy or Brooks Koepka right now, which one would I pick per major? It would still be Brooks Koepka.
That's pretty impressive coming from you, of course. I haven't had any additional word on the physical condition of Brooks Koepka. We know he hurt his knee in Asia. Have you heard anything on his condition?
No, I haven't. I'm assuming tomorrow when they do the press conference on the President's Cup picks, maybe Tiger will have something to say about Brooks Koepka and his health situation. But I haven't heard anything as well. And look, to be quite honest, it would not surprise me if Brooks Koepka did not play in Australia. If he needed to take the time, this is the time to take the time. So I would not be shocked. In fact, I'm willing to give you the 50-50 coin flip that Brooks Koepka isn't in Australia just because it just makes sense not to be.
All right. As you alluded to, we all know there are only four majors every year. I was going to ask you if you could give me a name of someone that hasn't won a major that you think has a excellent opportunity to get the job done in 2020. But maybe to make it fairer, can you name like two or three guys that you would not be surprised if they get their maiden major in this upcoming season?
Wow. You know, it's kind of interesting. I spent some time today with Bran Weisberger, and he was very impressive. Won three times already on this tour this year after coming off an injury last year. And he seems to kind of embrace the situation he's in, and I think embracing the situation is very important because, as you know, you have to feel good about the situation just in general. You have to feel good about your game. You have to feel good about dealing with the travel. You have to feel good about how things are at home. I mean, it's very hard to win a major tournament, major championship, when everything isn't going in the right direction. So, but in talking to him and realizing what he's won, which are basically two Rolex events, he won Made in Denmark, then he won the Scottish and the Italian Open, which are two big events. Winning those events are not easy. So I see somebody like that just in his early 30s with an excellent chance of winning a major. There was a point probably about 4 or 5 years ago where Weisberger again had his chances at a PGA Championship and didn't get it done. But the whole point is that, as you know, the more chances you give yourself, the better opportunity you have of winning one of these things. So I think he's one of them. And I think one of the young guys, you really have to look at the Hovlands, the Wolves, the Morikawas. I think you have to look at those guys. I think that, you know, Morikawa, to me, week in and week out, shows up every week, makes a pretty decent check. He's got chances to win. Has already won, obviously, on the PGA Tour. I like guys like that. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, it would be easy to say Ricky Fowler because everybody thinks Ricky Fowler is going to win a major at some point. I like a guy like these other guys that have been successful early and are showing that none of these situations that they get themselves into are ones that get them flustered.
You think John Rahm or Ricky Fowler will win a major first?
John Rahm.
Well, that's a popular thing. Hey, we appreciate you talking to us from Turkey. But one last thing before I let you go, something very big happened last night down in the state of Florida. A good friend of yours, a good friend of golf, a good friend of mine, Barbara Nicklaus, put into the PGA of America Hall of Fame. I seriously doubt there's ever been a more deserving inductee into that PGA of America Hall of Fame than Barbara Nicklaus. Do you concur?
Well, I'm not going to say more deserving. I will say that I don't think anyone gets has an understanding of all the things Barbara Nicklaus has done for golf. And I'm not just saying the charitable work or having to deal with Jack or raising all the kids and all that stuff. You talk to wives that have been involved with Barbara Nicklaus and how she has helped them deal with their husbands and dealing with being a professional golfer and so forth and so on. I mean, the things that she's done over time, it's just impossible to actually rank that. But what I will say is that going from the humble beginnings of just marrying Jack Nicklaus to where she is today, I mean, she clearly is the first lady of golf, and that comes not because of Jack, that comes because of her.
Very well said, Alex. Appreciate your time. Stay safe in Turkey. Have a lot of fun. He's Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read, and a major contributor to In the Grow Room. Thanks, Alex.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.